as a reminder, Grace does have COVID, and we thank you for coming.
Oh yeah, another thing. I think my eyes are puffy because of hay fever, so my eyes are very bloodshot.
Oh,
it
shit.
It is actually hard to see.
We are getting into hay fever season. You're the fucking canary, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't.
Oh!
I live next to a field. Of course I'm going to go first. It explains the hypersalivation and the snot and the... Oh, you know what I mean. I just keep dribbling. I'm producing...
Salivation.
Salivation. Whatever.
Salvation is when God helps you.
I'm being auto-saved. It's what I accidentally said, but that's not it.
Okay. So, I'll say this now. I hope I'm proven wrong. We're recording this on Monday. It's going to go out Sunday. This is one of the shortest turnaround times I've had. We're probably going to be doing this late. Because it has been chaos this past couple of days.
Just, shall we give the dear listeners a rundown?
Sure, but I just want to go into something with Grace first. So,
yes.
Also, hello, welcome to the Shipping Forecast. I'm James. Joining me is Nick.
Hey!
And Grace.
Hello.
And you may notice Grace sounds a little bit under the weather.
I have got COVID. Yay!
Grace has COVID, potentially. It was Grace's birthday this weekend.
Don't tell them when I'm
happy
born.
Birthday.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Here's her national insurance number. It's 05. No.
fucking dick.
So, it's like 2024. Fine. COVID's not as big a deal as it used to be since everyone is pretty much triple vaccinated now.
Yeah.
However, that's when Grace told me the origin of this COVID. Go ahead, Grace.
Okay, so basically, a fella went on holiday to the Dominican Republic, and he thought he'd have a nice wild time. And he was having a nice wild time, and there was a stripper's pole, and he thought, ah, fuck it, some woman's been on it, I'm gonna lick it. He licks it, he gets ill, he comes into work, and everyone else is now ill from that.
Oh boy.
So this is not just COVID. This is
stripper COVID.
COVID mixed in with whatever diseases were on a stripper pole in the Dominican Republic.
Yes.
Most unhygienic thing in that stripper club.
Yes.
Well, that's debatable.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah.
But, yeah, this is going to be some super turbo variant which the vaccine doesn't touch.
Yeah, yes. I've been ill for maybe a week and a half now, maybe 2 weeks. Ugh, it doesn't end.
I'm not feeling it yet, thankfully. But you told me this halfway through dinner.
Yeah.
And I was fine risking COVID. Like, sure, I haven't had it yet in several years, so that's... I figured, sure, I may as well get this out of the way. But then I find out it's turbo COVID that could well be some Resident Evil-esque thing.
I mean, luckily for me, I was far too indisposed to come down to where Grace lives and celebrate her birthday with her.
Yeah, do you want to go into that?
Okay, so what has tried to stop us making this fucking episode so far? Right. First of all, Grace gets COVID, so we postpone on the Sunday. Then on Monday, when we decide to sort of recombobulate and, you know, set aside the evening to record, Grace forgets to do the homework, so we postpone till Tuesday.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, I twisted my ankle, so I couldn't fucking walk and was in pretty consistent chronic pain for about a week. Literally, I was far too angry and miserable with myself to record. I was not sleeping or getting woken up at stupid o'clock in the morning by my stupid fucking foot throbbing. We finally set aside another time, which is this bank holiday Monday, to record.
Mm-hmm.
At the 11th hour, my screen decides that it doesn't want to turn on.
Yes. And also, while we were setting up, my laptop decided, no, time to sleep.
Yeah.
It's been a massive disaster trying to get this episode out to you. The fact you are listening to this at all is a minor miracle. And we're probably cursed in some way. Have either of you bought a hat recently?
No.
I was just thinking, as somebody maybe said to you, James, don't do what we do in the shadows as a topic. It's cursed!
It's cursed! And I thought, it is cool.
Yeah.
I will do that. That is still my favourite line from the show.
So, yeah, here we are. Fucking finally.
I know. Welcome to part two. Nick, how are you getting on with what we do in the shadows?
Honestly, I haven't had much time to do anything last week other than go to work and be utterly fucking apocalyptically cross about my foot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I've played a lot of Cyberpunk. I've played a lot of Paleo Pines as well. Which, yeah, is a nice...
Paleo Pines, perchance?
Yeah, Paleo Pines, which is a nice cosy game where you're a dinosaur rancher.
Very two opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of games.
Yeah, This is it. It is basically Stardew Valley, but with dinosaurs, and the dinosaurs are all cute and colourful, and, you know...
Grace, were you telling me about this?
No. I think I've looked up Dino Blade, which is a bit... It's a fighting game with dinosaurs.
That's the sword one, isn't it? Yeah.
And they have swords.
That looks
big
sick.
Swords. It's nice. Not come out yet, but I'm ready.
Yeah, it's by
I'm
one
ready
of the...
any day. Come on.
So, yeah, I've been playing a lot of Paleo Pines laid at Sophie's house while not being able to walk and stuff. But, yeah, that's what I've been doing. So I haven't really... had the inclination to sit down and watch what we do in the shadows.
That is understandable.
But I will.
I've been fine, for the most part.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah. The smug bastard that I am.
You wait.
Okay. We need to talk about effects very briefly and figure out a turn order here.
I mean, very briefly. We're getting an entire episode out of them, hopefully. But
I know, but we need to figure out who's going first, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
So, my fic... There's one I want to shout out very briefly. My actual fic is probably the most horrifying no TP I've ever seen, and I need to go into it in exquisite detail.
Oh, wow, okay. Mm. Is it quite funny, though?
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious.
Okay.
And I love the fic, but I hate that I love the fic.
I see.
Nick, what was yours like?
Mine is, if you're a fan of Sherlock Holmes and What We Do in the Shadows, you'll quite like this. I really like the way it was written. The characters act like you'd expect the characters to act. So,
okay.
I'm thinking mine is a solid middle.
Okay. Grace?
I don't mind going first or last, but mine is Nandor confessing and then trying to save Scum his way out of the embarrassment, but it's not working.
Okay.
I see. Okay. Oh, I don't know. Do we want to end on a chaos note, or do we want to end on a wholesome note?
I don't really mind.
I'd say end on wholesome.
Okay. In that case, I will go first.
In my opinion.
Okay. Because Grace's sounds a lot fluffier than mine.
Okay.
So I've actually read two... I want to briefly shout out the fic I've linked in our Discord called Gaslight Gatekeep Girl Boss. They've essentially written what happened in the COVID gap, where, spoilers for you, Nick, incidentally, Nadja and Guillermo end up in London.
Okay.
And this fic briefly covers their adventures in London, because the next season they're back in America, and we never actually get to see much of what happened in London.
All right, okay, I see.
It's very funny. It establishes that Nadja's phone is a pink Motorola Razr, which I love. There's various extra bits to it. It's written, it reads exactly like the episodes. Like, in, you've got the titles for everyone when they come do their side interviews. It's, yeah, it's really well done.
All right, okay.
It's also quite a long one, and I don't think I could talk about it without just reading the whole thing. So it's not what I'm talking about today.
Yeah, I see. I've just clicked into it now. It was that one from, it was part one of It's Not a Whore House, It's a Whore Home.
Yeah. Also, Guillermo ends up dating... oh, bollocks, I've forgotten his name. Antonio Banderas. He dates He meets and romances Antonio Banderas.
Go on.
Who... Oh, fine, I'll go into that a little bit. towards the end of chapter one, they do the interview bit, it cuts away, and Antonio's there going, "I'm a method actor. When I studied for the role of Armand, I realized I had no choice but to fully embody my character. I became a vampire as part of my preparation for that role."
Nice.
What a guy.
Yeah. So they start dating. It's very cute. It's also a crossover with the Magnus Archives. That's all very funny. Mm. And we'll probably talk about that at some point in the future.
Excellent.
But the fic I actually read, I've not posted it yet. I feel like I want to introduce it by just reading bits from chapter one before we start.
Okay. Yeah, I did notice that neither of you two have posted it in Fix for Two-Part episodes.
So,
I've just forgotten. Hang on.
I did post it, and then I deleted it because I realized I wanted to introduce it in this way. So, our story begins... This is by Dark Shrimp Emotions, which is a wonderful name.
Mm.
Chapter 1 is largely just Guillermo coming to the conclusion that he is never going to become a familiar. Nandor will probably never turn him because familiars, it's just a shit life as a familiar. Vampires lead you on. He's met so many elderly familiars who are like, yeah, they're going to make me a vampire any day now. And they all end up dead. It's been 10 years. He still kept the glitter portrait, and that was 2 years ago. So yeah, Nandor's not going to turn him without Guillermo taking action. Because the people Nandor likes to turn are people he can't have.
Okay.
Like his ex, he turns into a vampire at one point. Like there's... The people he does turn, it tends to be people he can't have.
That's such a fucking Nandor thing to do.
Yeah. So Guillermo has a plan. Guillermo has to make Nandor fall in love with him by becoming someone he cannot have.
Okay.
So Guillermo is going to find himself a new boyfriend.
Ooh. Okay.
And he's going to find a boyfriend that will make Nandor so impossibly jealous that he is going to have no choice but to try and win Guillermo over and get him back.
Oh, excellent.
So, first obvious choice, of course. Laszlo.
No.
Laszlo and Nandor, they have a rivalry. If Nandor sees Guillermo with Laszlo, he's going to kick off, right?
Mm-hmm.
No.
That's when he realizes it's a terrible plan, because all of Laszlo's relationships are open relationships, so there's no real way to make jealousy happen.
Exactly.
Laszlo isn't going to give a fuck, and probably neither is Nandor, because he knows that if anything did happen, Laszlo would be okay with it.
I'm going to read this bit verbatim. The second problem with this is he'd probably have to actually have sex with Laszlo at some point, and that's just... ugh, no. The second he got called Gizmo in bed, that would just be the end of any arousal he managed to muster. Valid choice.
Yep, fair enough.
And of course, it would never work with Guillermo and Nadia, because Guillermo is very gay, and it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
That leaves one option in the house.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit, that is a fucking no TP.
This fic is called, and I'm going to post it for you now, this is called I Love You, Colin Robinson by Dark Shrimp Emotions.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Oh,
that's why I didn't want to post it. That reveal was, yeah.
Okay, I had my suspicions, but yes.
Colin fucking
this
Robinson.
This is the fic where Guillermo seduces Colin Robinson to make Nandor jealous.
This is so cursed, bro. Oh.
This is so, so cursed.
Kudos to the author.
Yeah. Notable tags, no base or we die like Jesk.
Oh my God.
You know what? I love it. So, I've talked to you about chapter one. Let's go into chapter two.
Okay.
Our story begins proper with Guillermo pitching the plan to Colin Robinson. And he goes to Colin's room. He's just sat bolt upright, as Colin always is, in his beige room. And something I noticed about this fic that I really like is Colin Robinson never uses the same nickname for Guillermo twice in a row. Like, he's constantly rotating them for peak annoyance.
Yeah, that is the dull man's thing to do.
Yeah. Like, he opens with G-Man, and then he's Gizmo later on, and it's like... Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, G-Dog I've seen.
Mm-hmm. There was a guy at work we used to call G-Dog, and he hated it. So, yeah, completely relates.
I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. So Guillermo just pitches it as like a plan. We pretend to date. You get to feed off all the jealous and chaotic energy in the house. And Guillermo gets to make Nando jealous. And you know what? Colin's down. Like, he's going to feed off this pretty well. I'm trying to remember if there's anything. Oh, yeah. Colin just goes, yeah, I'm down. I want to see how fucked up this can get. So.
Yeah, Colin very much into this.
Like, he comes off as a very boring man, but he is purely an agent of chaos.
Yeah.
Like, he's here for the drama. So yeah, we skip ahead. They meet up in the kitchen because that's the one room none of the other vampires know exists.
Okay.
Because they've never used the kitchen.
I see.
But they establish some rules. Number one, no actual sex. But we do have to make them think we're getting freaky at least once a day. Two, they have to see us kissing and canoodling. No energy draining without consent.
Yep, fair enough.
Oh.
And five, most importantly, it can't be real.
Yeah.
Because we've all seen rom-coms. Faking relationships, it often leads to the real thing.
Is this the twist?
Dunno yet.
Okay.
Oh, I read there was something I wanted to talk about in the last chapter. Yeah, when he's pitching the plan, Guillermo says to Colin, like, what do you know about jealousy? And then Colin goes, oh, yeah, no, I know. Jealousy, it's a really intriguing phenomenon, psychologically speaking. Not to be confused with envy, which is wanting what other people have. Jealousy is more about insecurity of... And Guillermo just feels himself just falling out. And it's just such a well-written, like, draining scene that, yeah, that made me laugh. So, yeah, they plan all this. And then we cut to Nando's perspective. And something I also quite like about this fic is the way they've written... Even the bits where they're not talking, you can tell whose perspective it is because they write like what I imagine Nando's internal monologue to be like.
Oh, okay.
Like, Guillermo is not always there to greet him these days. His bodyguard duties prevent him. He doesn't need the candles, but it's a thing. Like, if Guillermo's too busy, he should at least like light a candle or two. Nando decides that this calls for a house meeting. And there shall be a new rule. If Guillermo must be there to greet him or light some candles, no excuses. So he's thought about this. He wanders off. He hears noises from the library. And he's like, oh. He hears Colin and Guillermo talking. He's like, oh, Colin's draining Guillermo. I'll go in and rescue him. So he opens the door. He's like, is that why you weren't here when I woke up? Is Colin Robinson draining you? And he sees Colin Robinson is in his armchair. And Guillermo is sat in his lap. And they're both reading the newspaper together.
Shit.
Guillermo is, like, drawing little doodles on his... You know, like, tracing doodles on Colin's head. They're like...
Oh, for God's sake.
And, yeah, Nando just can't understand what he's seeing. He's horrified.
It's just too wrong.
Yeah. Guillermo's, like, whispering in Colin's ear. And then they notice Nando, and he... And Guillermo goes bright red, and Nando's just, oh, what is the meaning of this? And just horrified.
What is the meaning of this?
I like this. He demands, his voice definitely a fierce growl and devoid of any trace of whining.
Yeah, it's stuff like that. Like, there's clearly... He's an unreliable narrator when we swap to Nando.
Hmm.
But in, like, an obvious way. And yeah, Guillermo was like, yeah, we were going to tell everyone. It just sort of happened. Like, we started talking, and it's only us around during the day. One thing led to another, and we're in love. Nando decides to take a step backwards out of the library, turns on his heel, and does not flee. He walks away swiftly, that is all. With purpose.
Brilliant.
Dignity.
Such a fucking Nando thing to do.
It is, yeah. I mean, I think I'd flee too in that situation.
Yep, fair enough.
So, chapter 3, which is all that has been written at the time of recording. I hope they write more. It's only been a month, so I'm hopeful this will continue. We cut to Nadja and Laszlo finding out, and Nadja's like, yeah, It's true. There's no accounting for taste. I won't try and do Nadja's accent. I'm not as good as Grace's at that
fair
one.
Enough.
I should explain for Nick. Season 3, and this is a bit of a spoiler, Laszlo finds out that Colin's only got a couple weeks left to live.
I'm guessing he ends up having some sort of party.
Kind of. So, it turns out all energy vampires die at the age of 100.
Okay.
Laszlo finds out, and he's super nice to Colin the entire season.
Oh, really?
And for a while, everyone's like, oh god, what's changed? Why is Laszlo so nice to Colin? So that's where this fic fits in. And it does play into that slightly, and he's all like, Gizmo, my boy, I don't think you quite know what you're in for. And he's trying to talk him out of it.
Yeah, I see.
But I suppose none of us wants to be alone, even if it leads to inevitable heartbreak.
Ah, because he thinks that Colin is going to die soon.
Yes.
Right, I see.
He's correct, by the way. Colin dies. So yeah, the rest of this chapter is mostly just them setting up shenanigans.
Oh, and it's not. That's it, isn't it? There's only 3 chapters.
Yeah, but there's more to this I want to talk about. So
yeah, excellent.
Colin's loving this the entire time. He's just feeding off all of the emotions in the room. On the third night, so Nandor's just been avoiding them the entire time. Anytime he walks in, sees them together, bolts out the room, finds something else to do. So Guillermo confronts Nandor. He's there to wake him up on the third day.
Oh shit, okay.
And he's, so, you know how it is, Nandor floats out of his coffin, and Guillermo's like, yes, good evening, master. And I was like, oh, you have not been here. And that's when he notices that Guillermo is wearing a beige cardigan.
Oh, no.
Forgive me. The sweater is Colin's signature shade of slightly darker than beige.
Fucking hell.
Nandor looks like he swallowed human food and is struggling not to projectile vomit. And Guillermo does the whole, oh, it brings out my eyes. And he knows it is hideous on him, but he's like, this is just really going to get him. And it does.
It brings out my eyes.
And there's a really sad bit. He's like, yeah. So Nando's like, oh, you let him dress you now? And he's like, yeah, that's what couples do. And Nandor scoffs, walks off, and mutters, I wouldn't know.
Aww.
And it's kind of sad.
Oh, Nandor. Yeah. Angsty boy.
I want to shout out the next thing in the next paragraph mentions Nandor walks in on their game of flirty and dirty Scrabble. Yes.
Fucking Scrabble.
Flirty Scrabble.
Ugh.
Scrabble. It's fucking Scrabble.
No, it's sexy Scrabble.
Yeah.
It's still Scrabble!
It's the sexiest version of Scrabble you can play.
It can't be sexy.
It's just Scrabble with, like, rude words, can't. Isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's written aroused, which isn't even that rude.
No, it's not, but there we go.
So, there's fucking another paragraph I need to read verbatim. On the fourth evening, he walks in on Colin Robinson stretched out on one of the couches with his head in Guillermo's lap, as Guillermo reads aloud from a very dense volume on the history of aviation.
Oh, God.
Nick.
What?
I just wanted you to hear that, and I wanted to reiterate. Colin.
I know, right? I know this. I knew even before I thought the character of Colin Robinson existed that am quite a dull person. I don't need it reiterating.
Have you ever sat in Sophie's lap while she reads you a book on the history of aviation?
No, she wouldn't do it. Because she finds that kind of thing.
So you have asked.
I don't need to ask.
Oh, so she's down for it.
No, I don't need to ask. I just know that she would find it dull as fuck and refuse to do it.
I see.
And besides, I prefer reading on my own.
Okay.
Understood. Yeah, next up, they go off to... This is the worst part. They go to the cinema together. And that's the worst part, because that was Nando and Guillermo's thing.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
I love... Grace, are you feeling a Nadja impression?
No.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie, no.
That's fair. You did a really good one last time.
Yeah, it was pretty just... good.
Because what is that horrid stench? It smells like a sleazy human man from the Wall Streets who's on the prowl for sex. It's such a fantastic line. And So Colin's just coming in with what I can only assume is Lynx Africa.
And
after Gyawa just sort of sprays him down. Yeah, they go off to the film. They say they're off to go watch a romantic film, and Nandor says, yeah, I hate rom-coms, fuck off. Oh, sorry, no, they specifically said, we're going to see this new rom-com I keep hearing about on the TikTok.
On the TikTok.
Yeah. The TikTok. That's peak, Colin.
It is.
Yeah, on the way out, they discuss that, yeah, this might be the most jealous energy Colin has ever tasted. Like, this is probably working too well.
Hmm.
And, yeah, but Colin tries to reassure Guillermo, but, yeah, he may look soft and squishy, but he's a big boy. He'll manage.
Yeah.
He'll get over it.
He can look after himself.
And this was the plan, after all.
Indeed.
And then the line that wounded me the most, personally, they're like, okay, so what are we seeing? Are we off to a rom-com? And Colin's like, God, no, they're showing Jurassic Park at the atrium. You ever see it on the big screen? And then he explains, it is a masterpiece of practical effects and holds up pretty well, even though it's been more than 30 years since the original release.
Ouch.
I was horrified to find out Jurassic Park is over 30 years old now.
It came out in 92, I think.
93. I looked it up before this.
It's
31.
Was it 93? Yeah. I mean, even so.
I know.
1993?
Yeah.
I wasn't even born then.
I was a year...
Oh, boo-hoo. But you didn't see it in the cinema either.
Well, no,
I
didn't. But I looked at it and go, 30? That can't be right.
Yeah.
And then...
I was a year old when Jurassic Park came out.
And turned out it was. So I think we could use a trigger warning on this fic for being horrified by the passage of time.
Yeah, for old cunts like us.
Yes. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Also, the thing about the practical effects sounds like something I would say. So it's not just you, Nick, that has been outed as Colin Robinson by this fic. It's also me.
There's a little bit of Colin in all of us.
There is.
We all
isn't
have
there?
Special interests, you know. So, yeah.
Good God. We're all a little bit of Colin.
Yep. We're all a little bit Colin.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, at the mansion, Nadia's trying to talk Nandor into doing something about the situation. It's all very delightfully... It's all written in their voices. And Laszlo's just sort of staring off wistfully at the window. Be like, perhaps if young Gizmo and Colin Robinson are happy together, we should let them be. And it's like, leave them be, have you gone insane? It works really well for all of them.
Yeah, Colin Robinson is going to be back to be growing a full head of hair and multiplying himself.
Have you seen that episode yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, so Colin gets promoted at work. And as a manager, he can just call people in to yell at them, and he becomes too powerful.
Oh.
Like,
he's essentially invented takeaway for him. So they just come in, he feeds off them, he gets really powerful.
Ah, he doesn't have to hunt anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he gains, like, all kinds of... he can, like, clone himself and, like...
manipulate objects.
Yeah.
Oh, holy shit, okay.
Like, he becomes the most powerful creature in What We Do in the Shadows. Like, full power Colin. Like, once he's fully fed, is too much.
He can actually just drain anything. Like, he walks into the room, all the plants are dead. Yeah. It's just so stupid.
It's nuts. The power of boredom. But yeah, So next up, they go shopping together. And Guillermo's starting to, like, we don't have to do this outside of home. But Colin's like, I can still be your friend, you know? And yeah, it's quite wholesome. And Colin convinces Guillermo, you can actually just spend the house money on your own food. You don't have to live off pot noodle and ramen every day. Because Nandor should be paying you for everything you do.
Yeah.
And I know he doesn't. But also, no one checks the house bank account, so...
So he could just dip into it whenever he likes, yeah.
Yeah, he should. And Guillermo's sort of concerned, like, you're not just going to hold that over me as blackmail, right? And he's like, no. But if you do that, maybe make me something too every so often, because he does eat. Like, he's not like the other vampires. He can't sustain himself off human food, but it's nice. And, yeah. So they plan to make dinner together.
I think I can kind of see where this is going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they get home and we get one big Guillermo as Nandor is stuck or something. And that's all that's out so far. I think they're really cute together, and I hate that you've made me ship Guillermo and Colin Robinson, but I do now. It's horrifying in such a good way.
Oh, you stared into the abyss, and the abyss is staring back.
I didn't expect to come out of this shipping Guillermo and Colin, but here I am.
The author has done a fantastic job.
The fact that they spend the daytime together and just bonding over different things, like, it fits better than I would have expected.
God's sake.
Previously, I'd only shipped Colin with Evie, but now, yeah, it's Colin Guillermo. What would that couple name be? Guillermo Robinson?
Ooh. Colliermo, maybe.
The Beige Hunter.
The Beige Hunter.
Yeah.
Beige Hunters.
Yes.
Fucking hell.
The Daywalkers, because they're the two that are allowed outside during the daytime.
Yeah, that's true. Mm.
Oh, there's another bit I didn't mention where they're having toast together, and like Colin's like, "Yeah, I'll make you breakfast. What do you want?" Just plain toast. He wants nothing. Like, Guillermo's got Nutella and everything. And Colin's like, "No, nothing on my toast."
No, just one small slice of dry toast.
Yes. Classic Colin.
Oh, so, yeah, wow.
I think they've done a great job writing every character in their voice.
Yeah. No, this was good. I kind of want to see it concluded and see definitely what the author's got in store for Colin and Guillermo.
Yeah.
Dark Shrimp Promotions, if you're listening to this, please finish this. It's been a delight. I need to know where this is going. I notice it's not tagged Guillermo/Colin. It's only Guillermo and Colin right now. So it's possible they don't end up together.
Hmm.
But that's fine. I still just want a conclusion.
Yeah, if they end up as like best buds, then that's cool too.
Yeah, I could see them just being good friends together. That would be a dimension we've not seen in the show, and I think that would improve things. Like, it adds depth to the characters, because I don't think we see them interact that often.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's my thoughts. Thank you, Dark Shrimp Emotions. Such a good name. You've got to kind of read it as in that way. But yeah, Nick, what have you been reading?
Hang on, I really need to go.
You need to just go.
My throat's killing me, so I keep muting it.
Oh.
Hang on, I'm just going to take some medicine and come
up.
Hang on.
Okay.
But you can carry on without me.
I don't think we can.
No, we'll do a pause for now. And yeah, if you just want to go and take some medicine.
Grace, you remember what happened last time you left us alone to our own? Is she gone?
I think she might be gone.
Cool. Farscape. So.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was fucking coming.
Right. So.
Why didn't. Right. I. Just on the off chance that this has happened, why didn't we have Fix prepared for Farscape?
We're gonna have to next time, aren't we?
That would have just been the funniest thing. Like, both of us had done a part one and a part two.
That would have been okay. You know what? Let's find a Farscape fic quickly.
Have you read any Farscape fics?
No, I'm just looking for one. I'm frantically looking for one quickly. Oh God, let's find one. Okay.
Grace is going to go full Nadia on us when she gets back.
So this fic is called Warm in the Night, Cold as Stone by Astro Girl.
Okay.
The summary, John Crichton has lost everything he had. Scorpius has gained everything he wanted. And now, at the end of it all, they're left with nothing at all. This fic is probably very good because it's got haiku and us. I'm going into this blind because we're so short on time to set up this bit. Yeah. Scorpius and John, that's a fairly solid ship. I can see why that's there.
Are you going to be brave enough to link it somewhere so that I can fucking read it?
Absolutely. Hang on. Oh, God. Put it in with the part twos. Okay, Nick, when Grace comes back, are we pretending we've not done anything, or are we just going to carry on?
We're just going to pretend we're not doing anything. Unless she has actually come back already and is just sitting there listening to us incriminate ourselves.
It's possible she's done that. No, we're good.
No, we're good, yeah.
Okay, so... Right, let's read this fic, see if it's good. I hope it is.
Okay, this is an AU branching off from somewhere early in the Worse or Screwed trilogy. The sex is oddly rather milder and less kinky than I would have expected it to be. Lots of angst, swearing, brief ickiness involving bodily fluids, plus general wrongness. Title is courtesy of the fact that I've been listening to way too much YouTube when I started writing. Yeah, warm in the night, cold as a stone, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Are you frantically reading this as well?
Yeah. Leather-clad arms catch him and steady him. And the worst part is, he's grateful. He's crying now in the arms of his worst enemy, sobbing like a child against the armor-plated chest. And it hits him suddenly that this is all he has now. No Aaron, no Earth, no Dad, no friends, no shred of self-respect. Only an ugly, vicious bastard who's willing, for whatever reason, to hold him, to stroke his hair, to mutter something distressingly soothing in his ear.
Wow.
Yeah. This is good.
Yeah, it is.
And then they pound.
And then, yeah, probably, yeah.
I mean, they do eventually, I think, but...
Yeah, oh, they do a kiss. Yeah, they do a kiss. His lips meet John's in a bruisingly hard kiss that slowly softens into something probing and sweet. He can taste the acid tinge of Crichton's vomit, that's the ickiness with bodily fluids.
And
his scarron tongue finds it not at all unpleasant, nor are his lips or his tongue or the taste of his blood when Scorpius nips him playfully.
Scorpius grasps the human's genitalia with the same skilled, careful touch he would use on a delicate and complex piece of machinery. The Aurora chair, perhaps. The human's startled reaction is gratifying. Scorpius had always found expressions of shock. And I'm laughing because I can hear Grace coming back going, "What are you doing?"
Every single time we do this fucking bit. Oh yeah, they are going to pound by the looks of things.
Damn right they are. Oh, holy frell. An interesting choice of words. He remarks as his hand strokes and squeezes and is rewarded. He's rewarded with the first stirrings of success.
The first stirrings of success.
Really, John, this obsession of yours with Officer Sun borders on the unhealthy. I hope everyone enjoys Farscape.
Like, there's going to be, I reckon, exactly 3 people who will understand what we're on about.
I know.
Yeah.
And I hope they're happy, because it's rare that Farscape gets a mention anywhere, so...
Yeah, I am due a rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I can find it, I am due a...
I've been thinking of doing a... So, I don't know how much you know about Stargate, but after Farscape got cancelled, Ben Browder and Claudia Black both moved over to Stargate.
Okay.
But I've not watched the seasons they're in. I might just hop to that.
Yeah, I've watched Stargate the film, which I quite enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
But not Stargate the series. Yeah.
So the series is an entirely different continuity, incidentally. But it's set a couple of years after the film.
Right, okay. So yeah, by the sound of things, the only thing they've got in common is the Stargates themselves.
There's the gates, and there's 2 characters that return.
Right, okay.
Daniel Jackson, the scientist, and Colonel O'Neill, the guy Kurt Russell plays.
Okay.
Replaced by a far cheaper actor. But nice. Still a good actor, Richard Dean Anderson, who you'll know as MacGyver.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
So, yeah, I'd give Stargate a go. It seems up your alley. It's a good sci-fi, because you get to... you watch the progression of humanity quite well.
Right, okay, yeah.
Because it starts off just 90s technology, and then they bring stuff back over time, and the equipment just gradually gets better and better as the show goes on.
Yeah, as they reverse engineer this technology.
And you can trace like most of their technology back to be like, oh yeah, that was that episode when they found the thing, and now they can do a thing. Oh,
okay, I see.
Until eventually they build their own spaceship.
Hmm.
And then build several. So yeah, would recommend. Grace, are you back yet? Nope. Okay, time for more Farscape.
I mean, there is the possibility that she could have come back, witnessed what was happening, and then just left for good.
Could be.
Just like, right, I'm not doing this anymore.
I hope not. I found a fic with sounding in here as well. It's also John and Scorpius. I don't think she couldn't be mad at us, surely.
Possibly. It does seem to be a big dose of medicine she's taking.
Well, she does have the super COVID.
Yeah, that's taking a long while.
She...
Oh!
Aha! Hey, Grace.
Hello.
Hey. Hey. Welcome back.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
No, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah. Nick was about to tell us about his fic.
Yep. And okay. Absolutely nothing at all has happened in the intervening time.
Yep.
Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go looking for it, because nothing has happened.
Okay, I won't.
Okay, let me just load mine up.
So, yeah.
Okay, so this is What We Do in the Shadows, in brackets, Victorian edition, by Melting Through the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And basically what happens is Sherlock Holmes and his committed life partner, Dr. Watson, they are basically sitting around in 221B Baker Street, getting ready to go to bed, when all of a sudden three strange people somehow materialise themselves in their room.
Presumably hiding as bats.
Yeah, quite possibly. What I really like about this, as you'll see throughout, is I've read the Sherlock Holmes books, and it's written... It could be inserted into one of the Sherlock Holmes books, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you took away the modern language that Nadja, Laszlo and Nando use, mm-hmm. and replace it with more of its time language, mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be inserted into any one of Arthur Conan Doyle's stories. So,
so I heard something really funny about Arthur Conan Doyle the other day. I have no idea if it's true. I should probably Google this before I say it on a podcast. Apparently one of Arthur Conan Doyle's last wishes was, if I'm only remembered as the person who wrote Sherlock Holmes, I will have considered my career a failure.
Oh, no.
And here we are. Because he hated Sherlock Holmes. Like, he thought that was the rubbish, and only his later stuff was much better. But even at the time, he was the Sherlock Holmes guy. So,
I feel really bad now.
Nah, it's he wrote a beloved series. It's that's more than most of us can say.
Yeah, this is true. I'll just read the first paragraph verbatim, because so these are the bits which would slot so well into the continuing canon of Sherlock Holmes. The following occurrences, which I am about to commit to paper, can never be published, much less shown to any eyes, save for myself and Holmes. This is not due to the usual reasons why I might censor a case, such as allowing a client to keep anonymity or allowing Holmes and me to keep our freedom. No, this case must be kept private simply for the fact that it is so absurd that even the most wildly imaginative reader would find it difficult to believe. If the events had transpired and happened to me alone, I would scarcely believe it. But as it were, Holmes was present as well, and he assures me that both of our faculties remain intact, and that it would be best to accept what we did see as the truth.
The following was too weird.
Yeah, basically. It's not because Holmes might be arrested or the clients want to be kept anonymous. It was just too odd. Which I think is on brand for What We Do in the Shadows.
Mm-hmm. I like the description of Matt Berry's accent. He was British, but a manner of speaking that was decidedly odd.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically it opens with our heroes, Holmes and Watson. They're sort of sat by their fire, Watson's dozed off and he feels a hand on his shoulder. It's Holmes saying, come to bed, because they're together in this, which is nice.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he reaches to turn off the lamp that's next to him, and he hears a small cough from behind him. And they turn abruptly to see the oddest trio standing before them. Two men and one woman dressed in clothes that I could not confidently call old-fashioned, but were certainly enough to turn a few heads walking through the street in our area of London. So even for the 1800s,
yeah,
Nadia, Laszlo and Nandor are still dressing oldly worldly.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I'd have thought Laszlo was at least from that time, but maybe I was wrong.
I think he is, but he's still dressed like a weirdo.
Yeah.
Like, is my interpretation of that. Like, he's a weirdo for his day. It's not just his age that makes him strange.
Yeah, he's just decidedly odd, even for a vampire, really. Okay, so they introduce themselves. Nadia says, the washerwoman invited us in to explain why they're just standing there, even though they probably materialised from bats.
Mm-hmm.
But, I quite like this. If you have need of us for a case, it would be best to come back in the morning. Yes, well, I'm afraid we can't do that. But yeah, they sort of introduce themselves, and Holmes says, well, Mr. and Mrs. Cravensworth, Mr. Nandor, feel free to have a seat. And of course, Nandor being Nandor, he says, it is Nandor the Relentless, but you can just call me Nandor. at which point, Nadia gets quite pissed off, because Nandor is... You'll learn throughout this fake that Nandor is fully intent on blowing their cover.
As always, really. Yeah.
So it's explained away. He means his surname is Relentless, not that he is relentless. He is very much not relentless, just like a normal, non-threatening human. Mm. and if you want an attempt at that, at the line after that, then you're very welcome to, Jim.
Right. Right, and you can call me Laszlo, and my wife Nadia. No need for formalities here.
Spot on.
Thank you. I've realised the trick for it is take your last word and just add an noise in at some point.
Yeah, just elongate nearly everything.
Yeah, pick a word, make it three times as long.
Yes. Yeah, add several syllables and elongate the end, it's fine. Holmes asks what they need their assistance with. And by the way, I should just sort of mention before we get into this, in true What We Do in the Shadows style, we don't know what they actually want with Holmes and Watson until we get to the end.
Of course.
Because they're too busy fucking about and squabbling and infighting and all sorts. It comes out at the end what they need.
It never happens.
Yeah, they do find out that they actually don't need Holmes and Watson for what they've come to them for. But anyway, we will get to that. What do you need my assistance with? Hang on a minute, where were we?
I don't know, but I just saw a really good line.
Okay, go on.
They're talking. Nandor brings up witches, and Holmes is like, as a man of science, that's like, oh, fuck, do humans not believe in witches anymore?
Ah, yes. So basically, after a little bit of squabbling, because Nadia and Nandor don't think that they should even be here, they should be sorting out this particular thing they're sorting out themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's Laszlo who's heard of Sherlock Holmes and thought, he'll be able to help us. So after some sort of squabbling, it turns out that they've lost something of importance, okay? Uh-huh. And they must find it as quickly as possible, because they've got to go to America soon with our friend Simon. And they've no idea where it could be. But Nadia thinks she knows, and Nandor side, Nadia thinks it's the witches. Again, everything that happens, she thinks, which is this, which is that. It's so very tiring. And this is what brings us to the line which you've so well pointed out. What's really funny is that Laszlo tries hypnotism on them both. He sort of leans forward, keeps eye contact, and he says, you will not remember the conversation we just had. Of course, nothing happened and I retained the memory perfectly. Holmes and I have learned that when dealing with these types of superstitious folk, it's best just to go along with what they say. So yeah, Laszlo, shit at hypnosis.
Classic, yeah.
Fucking hell.
Okay, so it does continue. Holmes and Watson are getting a bit sort of irked with these people turning up out of the blue at midnight and basically bothering their nice cosy evening. And, you know, they say, look, maybe it'd be better if you come back in the morning when we've all rested a bit. Or you could just tell us what it is that you've lost and we'll do our best to locate it. And then they start talking about it. Laszlo's up again. Yes, but our brief sojourn in this delightful country of my birth must come to an end soon. We were already we were already driven out in 1861 due to anti-immigrant Najikoi, anti-immigrant prejudice.
Sure.
So yeah, talking away, and of course, Nando cuts in as well. We really must be getting on with this. So why don't you tell these two men what you lost, and then they can find it for us, and then we can rip out their throats and drink all their blood. Really, this is not that difficult. Nando fully intent on blowing their cover.
Mm. And then Naja fucking clarifies.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you just walk out into the street and scream, "Oh, my name is Nando the Relentless, I'm a huge bloody fucking vampire."
I'm a huge bloody fucking vampire.
There it
well,
is.
Now you are the one who has said we are vampires. Oops.
I do apologise for reading God's a lot of this sake. Verbatim, but it is just absolutely fucking classic. It's brilliant. Okay, so after a little bit of deliberation, they decide that, yeah, they've heard too much. We're going to have to kill Holmes and Watson now.
Shit.
I find this quite a sweet line here. It was by a stroke of luck that she turned to Holmes first. My self-preservation instincts are not as quick as my instincts to protect my friend.
Oh.
So, yeah, they're very much together in this. So he grabs his walking stick, wielding it like a sword. Holmes grabs a small umbrella from an umbrella stand and sort of like brandishes it. And eventually they move forward. Holmes unsheaths the hidden blade in his walking stick, holds it to Nadja's throat, and then, you know, Laszlo's like, okay, we get it. Everyone settle down. So, let me just gather my thoughts a second. As a side note, it does feel like months since we did this last.
Yeah.
Eventually everything settles down, and finally Holmes and Watson have a chance at convincing these strange people to let them live. Oddly enough, one of the proponents for letting them live is actually Laszlo.
Right.
He's a fan, isn't he?
He's not a fan, but he says, but the thing is, these fine young men are doing an admirable job of keeping the police out of everyone's business. They solve the murders or the robberies so that those annoying imbeciles down at Scotland Yard don't have to. Now, that's not great either, but I've been reading about all sorts of criminals who get all worked up about these two and do the dumbest fucking shit ever to get their attention. And you know what flies under everyone's notice then?
Vampires.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, amazing.
Nandor is just about to open his mouth, but Nadja's like, shh, don't say it, we can all think it. So, yeah, so you've stopped trying to kill us then? And, like, yeah, okay. He slowly sort of loosens the grip on the blade, puts it away, and both Holmes and Watson sit back in the chair, exhausted, and they sort of let something slip. Holmes lays his arm over the side table that rests between the chairs, and Watson sort of grabs it and things like that. Because, and I quote, based on everything that has come out of their mouths thus far, I highly doubted any of these people were going to take us to court on a sodomy charge.
Well, yes.
Of course, Nando's taken note of this. Oh, you two are together then.
Oh, fucking hell, here Jesus. We go. Here we fucking go.
Oh, that is nice.
Oh, such an unbelievable thing. Oh, that is nice.
It turns out he's bothered because they were having a nice holiday in Paris, and Nando paid a fortune teller loads and loads of money's worth of gold to tell him the first initial of his future partner. So,
oh, right. She said G.
Yeah. She said G, he muttered.
Mm-hmm.
For
Gollin Robinson.
No.
Gollin Robinson.
Yeah.
No, G for Guillermo, but yeah.
I know, I'm...
You just don't ship it anymore, no. That's the problem.
Okay, so it continues. Laszlo sort of shrugs and says, this has gone on far longer than I expected, and I have some business to attend tonight in Whitechapel. At which point, he stands up
Whitechapel.
And starts... Yeah, Whitechapel, yes. Yeah.
Whitechapel. Home of Jack the Ripper.
Yep, exactly.
Damn it, Laszlo.
At which point he stands up and starts fiddling with the window latch. Nando's like, just use the stairs. We must not startle our human hosts. So Laszlo leaves.
They're so bad at this.
They are. They're absolutely terrible. So Laszlo leaves and they listen to his footsteps. It must have been my imagination, but I sworn I could have heard someone shout, "Bat!" from the street below.
Excellent.
So they get back to the task at hand. They try their hardest to get on track. But of course, Nando is like, you know, we do not have much time. This has already gotten very ridiculous. I was supposed to be having interviews for a new familiar tonight. Oh, what happened to Charlie? Same old thing. When are you going to turn me? You made a promise. Ugh.
Bloody Nando.
He's the worst.
So, eventually, they come to the crux of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost a jade necklace, which was given to Nadja by her mother before she was mauled to death and eaten by a bear.
I see.
Yeah, she's got the worst luck,
she
Nadja.
Does,
she? Yeah.
She has got the most tragic backstory.
This is it. I'm going to... I'll just read this next bit verbatim because I'm going to use this next insult in day-to-day life, I think.
Okay.
Yes, and this particular heirloom was her jade necklace, and the reason it is so important to me is that it absorbed her screams as she was being torn apart limb from limb and devoured by the bear, and it means a lot to me, but it has disappeared. I made the decision not to attempt to process any of the words that had exited her mouth in that moment, and instead merely record them with the intent to decipher them at a later point.
That's some Louis Theroux shit right there.
I think that's wonderful. Yeah, I do think that's wonderful. But anyway, of course, Nando hears this, and he's like, a jade necklace, you said? It's just I think I may have used a jade necklace as payment for that fortune teller in Paris. So...
Oh, hell.
Oh, you fucked up, Nando.
Of course, this angers Nadja.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, quite a lot. They decide that there's no case, and they apologise to Holmes and Watson. Of course, they stand to leave, and Holmes says, well, if you're ever in need of assistance, I hope you can figure things out.
If you need help, don't.
Yeah.
Don't ask us.
And then they leave. Yeah, Holmes and Watson agree that they're very strange people. They can't really tell if it's a plank or if it's a prank or...
If it's a plank.
I know, it's late. I mean, it's not late, but anyway.
It's half four.
It's late. It's late in the afternoon.
Well, it should be like five.
Yes.
Oh yeah, clock's changed.
They wonder if it was a prank or if they seriously believed their own claims, and they're very glad that they're never going to see them again.
I think they've been on the opium.
I think they've been on the opium.
And they make a brew before bed. And I honestly, I thought this was a wonderful merging of the two. I think that you could have probably dropped to any of the canons, and it would still fit because it was it was written in such a way that that is true to both the how the characters act in both
I could
the canons.
See it. If Arthur Conan Doyle had watched What We Do in the Shadows, this is what he would have put together.
Yes, 100%. Just so many brilliant lines in it.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Yeah, but I thought it was a fun read.
Yeah. I was fully expecting it to be the cursed hat that had been sold by accident, air quotes, by Nadja to get rid of it.
No, I just really liked that it was... it ended up being their fault anyway.
Yeah.
Like, they had this thing which they'd lost. They'd finally got all the way to seeing the experts in finding things that are lost. And it turns out that it's not lost anyway. One of them's just pawned it in exchange for a dodgy fortune.
That does seem sort of a recurring pattern in fics I've seen of them in doing stuff elsewhere. They'll go get help, and it'll turn out it's their own fault.
Yes.
And then they leave. That's happened in a couple of fics that I've read now.
Oh, excellent. I think
yeah,
it's very on brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very 100%. On brand for them.
So, Grace.
Hello.
What have you been reading?
I have been reading Be Kind Rewind by Sept Sapphire.
Sept Sapphire.
Sept Sapphire.
Sept Sapphire. There we go. Yes. Yes, yes, very good.
Thank you.
There you go. I think it's going to be difficult for me. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to... Not because of the fic, but because I'm just ill as fuck.
As a reminder, Grace does have COVID, and we thank you for coming.
I am halfway through my third lem sip of the day, and it's barely touching the sides.
So you might not have a voice by the end of this?
No, probably not.
Oh, no.
But here we go. It means that I don't read out the end, so you can read it for yourself.
Ah, I see.
At home. The listeners can read it for themselves. And they're like,
I can't help but notice we've got the tag, Nandor's love language is Bazinga.
Yes, it all makes sense later.
Okay.
And Nadja's love language is threatening people on your behalf.
I mean, we've talked about that, I think.
Yeah, we have.
That sounds familiar, yeah. Okay.
So, summary. Grace. Nandor's not great at talking about his feelings. Luckily, every time he screws up a confession, he just makes Guillermo forget it. He'll get it right eventually. There's just one problem with this plan. Guillermo, unbeknownst to him, has developed an immunity to mind wiping.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. Oh, bless
and
him.
I just thought this is the cutest little premise.
That is. Like,
it's so good. I just read it and thought, yes, this is going to be a lot of fun. Quick spoiler. This is for spoilers for... after season 3-ish, so tap out now if you don't want to hear them.
Bye, Nick.
Alright, I'll go get my tea then.
No, we've already...
right.
I'm kidding, stick around.
I'm going to read a bit from this so you sort of get the feel for it, because I think it's quite well written and they write the characters. You can hear the characters speak as you read it, which I think is quite good. It starts like many things in Guillermo's life nowadays, with Nandor hatching a very bad plan.
Standard.
I must speak with you about what happened in the theatre. A lot has changed since the rescue of the vampires from the otherwise extinction. He has moved from the role of familiar to bodyguard, he thinks.
Execution.
At least...
Sorry.
Execution. Oh my god. Oh yeah, another thing. I think my eyes are puffy because of hay fever. So my eyes are very bloodshot.
Oh, shit.
It is actually hard to see.
We are getting into hay fever season. You're the fucking canary, aren't you?
Oh, don't.
Oh!
I live next to a field. Of course I'm going to go first. It explains the hyper-salvation and the snot and the... Oh, you know what I mean.
Hyper-salvation?
I just keep dribbling. I'm producing...
Salivation.
Salivation. Whatever. Whatever the
salvation
fuck
is when God helps you.
I'm being auto-saved. It's what I accidentally said, but that's not it.
He can't help you now.
I know. I've known this for a long time, Nick. I was abandoned years ago. Right, look, okay. From otherwise, execution, okay?
Thank you.
Right. He's moved from the role of familiar to bodyguard. He thinks, at least from his perspective, that they've all been making an effort to treat him with a little more respect, even if that respect means being upgraded from human doormat to simply human being. Bless him.
Oh, Guillermo.
But he's not sure how much of that respect actually comes from fear. He remembers the look Nandor had given him after he had killed Carol, and the way the vampires stuck him in a cage for months, even if it hadn't been as effective as they'd assumed.
That was good, yeah.
That was fucking funny. So it's almost a bit of a relief when Nandor continues with, I must tell you it was very attractive.
Oh, okay.
he's just like, what? And Nandor looks annoyed, and he's like, well, of course, it was terrifying, but it was also very endearing. Even Laszlo said it made him horny. And he's like, oh, this is about Laszlo. Guillermo is convinced an old stale donut could make Laszlo horny under the right circumstances. So it's not really much of a compliment. Still, Nandor insists, this is not about Laszlo. This is about you. Me? Yes. And me. You? Nandor growls. We are talking in circles. This isn't right. I was supposed to tell you that you are very attractive and then you were supposed to compliment my own exceedingly good looks. And we would go from there. Attractive? Is that what? Yes, but you've ruined it. you will forget about this conversation. And, like, waves a hand over him. And and Guillermo's just looking at him like, what the fuck just happened?
Oh, I like that. Guillermo's mind does go blank. He's just stunned with... It's not the hypnosis. He's just like, the fuck is going on?
Yeah, exactly. And then Nandle's like, Guillermo, do you have the brain scramblies? And he's like, no. Either way, he sort of like goes, it could have been anything, could have any sort of reason why he's done this, so he's just gonna play along. He's like, yeah, I've forgotten. Yeah, we'll swipe under the carpet, you know.
In two fics now, we've had instances where the mind wiping just doesn't fucking work.
Yeah.
and people are just playing along to make them feel better.
Yeah. So yeah, this is how it begins. Nandor is gonna make several terrible but very Nandor attempts to win over Guillermo. And a bit like me losing a boss battle in a game, he's going to reload the file until he gets it right. Well, that's his plan anyway. So Guillermo is like, well, what was that? Does he like me? Was it a prank? Ugh, could have been anything or nothing. I'll forget about it. 2 days later, you don't even drink coffee, Guillermo points out. It's not about the coffee. Nandor says feverishly, then why do you want to go? And he's like, I told my mother I would go on a date once a year. And he's like, what? Your mother? That doesn't even make sense, you know?
Yeah.
That's not how you were supposed to respond, Guillermo. We were supposed to bond over our shared distaste for dirty socks, like the Warlord Sheldon and his Lady Amy.
<Fuck's sake>.
Oh, no.
So he saw an episode of The Big Bang Theory
where
presumably Sheldon told his mum he'd go on a date. And he's just right.
I've not watched it, but I can assume that was sort of what's gone on.
Yeah.
And Nandor looks at him and goes, I should not have taken dating advice from The Big Bang Theory. You do not even like the show. It would not impress you. And he lifts a hand. You will forget what I've just said. And then, for good measure, bazinga. acting like it worked. Did you need something? Yeah, what? Sorry, blood stains on my coat. Wash them off, please, Guillermo. And of course, the coat's fine. He just returns it to him later and pretends it's been cleaned, you know?
Fantastic.
Like, God's sake. And the next crazy hijinks is Nandor is asking him how to search things up on his laptop.
Okay.
And he said, Guillermo, type, ask it to search how to ask your crush out.
Oh.
And Guillermo's just like, I don't see... Okay. And Guillermo's just looking at all the teen level shit suggestions and he's like, oh my god. Which one am I going to fucking get? Mentally bracing himself for what's to come. Because following that, Nandor tries everything on the list. It's both very cute and utterly vexing. All ending in like a mini mind wipe.
Can I just pull this bit up?
Okay.
In Al-Qanadar, it was very simple to tell someone you love them. You simply slaughtered one of their enemies or burned down a village that was blocking their view of the moon. Now Colin Robinson tells me that slaughtering and pillaging isn't romantic anymore. Ah, ridiculous.
Very Nandor.
Yeah, they've nailed this.
So lots of these little scenarios go on. And then you get he's starting to get into the swing of it. And finally he takes him on a nice picnic on the roof sort of thing. It's like, and you know, they have this quite heartfelt conversation. And she's like, while you were gone, Colin Robinson explained the Big Bang to me. He said very mean things about my turtle and claimed it was science. Fucking guy. I realised the universe was so big and so meaningless. We were just a tiny little speck floating along. I knew this made me very lonely. But then your plane arrived and I felt I thought it was. I was just happy to have my dirt back, but then I realised I was no longer thinking about how alone and meaningless I was. It didn't feel meaningless anymore. And Guillermo's like, oh no, I'm falling for this. Oh no. You have been on my side for 10 years and I've not always been kind to you. And when you have always been kind to me, you're a good familiar, Guillermo, and you are a good friend. And I care about you and I want you to know that whatever comes after this. And he's like, wow, that was terrible, you're right. And he flips the hand. It's just never going to work. You forget it. And Kiara's like, enough.
No, that was good.
No more wipes. Stop it. Don't stop confessing to me and then not letting me decide for myself. And he's like, how did you know that, Guillermo? And he's just like, because vampire hypnosis doesn't work on me anymore. I've been immune for like 5 years. And he's like, oh, you remember all the other confessions? Yes! Yes, I do. And I just wanted to say that Bat Gendel fucks off. He flies as hard and fast as he can.
Just imagine what he thinks he's been getting away with for 5 years.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to wipe Guillermo, and none of it, he remembers all of it.
It's just so funny.
It's also very cute.
Yeah. And so, following that, like, every time Guillermo enters a room, he leaves, or, like, he's essentially just hiding from him. And then, like, the other roommates are like, oh, this is fucking nuts, this is ridiculous, I hate it. You're making my husband go flaccid and all that shit. Like, sad little pig boy.
Yeah, I saw that line just pop out there.
And Colin Roberts says, yeah, it's great, but it's bad for my health. So, yeah, they do end up having to have we have to talk, and Nando's like, no, we don't. Yes, we do. So, yeah, they sort of reconcile. And it's very, very cute and very, very silly how Nando takes a few of the things he says seriously and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you should probably read it for yourself at some point. But, yeah, I find it very cute and amusing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just enjoy. Reading it now.
Yeah, I think it's very cute. Like, I wasn't sure if I wanted to ship Guillermo and Nandor together because I'm not entirely on board with
how Nandor's
been treating him. But, like, on the other hand, I don't know, this fic kind of sells it to me in a way where even though it wasn't good once, it became better.
There's a lot of scenes where...
In the most chaotic way possible.
Mm.
Yeah, I feel like they can be very cute, but at the same time, Guillermo deserves better because he's been through some shit. But I don't think Guillermo wants better necessarily.
Yeah.
Oh, he would have left ages ago if he wanted better.
Exactly.
I'm sure of it.
And it's not up to us to say what Guillermo wants.
Maybe he just wants Nando.
Exactly. I just love the notes at the end. Like Sean hearing distant strains of Bazinga from a house away. Huh. Nando and his boyfriend are into some freaky shit, huh?
The distant strains of Bazinga.
I think I'd be horrified sleeping with someone who yells Bazinga mid-coisus.
Honestly, that...
Bazinga.
That'd sound like a line from a dystopian novel. The distant strains of Bazinga.
Oh, God. Well, a Big Bang Theory-themed dystopia.
Yeah.
Where everyone is ruled over by Sheldon.
Well, no, just where everybody has... some government of the world have decided that it's not only the funniest show ever, but a template to live your life by.
Oh, God.
Jesus. No, thanks.
You can't just whip out horror like that without a trigger warning, Nick. Jesus.
I'm sorry. Oof. But there are people out there who think that it is the funniest show that ever existed. God knows why, but...
Well, still. One of them is Nando, because that is a canon thing.
Oh.
But we'll come up.
I would argue that it's more Colin Robinson, because a lot of the humour in the Big Bang Theory is tedious.
Mm. Oh, no, like, Nando becomes a massive Big Bang Theory fan.
Oh, Nando.
Like, he's really into it.
They have no taste.
Hate to break it to you, Nick, but the people who like the Big Bang Theory also really liked Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, like, I've gone over my dislike for Friends here before. I think liking Big Bang Theory is less bad than liking Friends.
Do you know the problem I've got with it?
It's generic.
I think Big Bang Theory is worse than Friends.
Friends, they actually tried for genuine humour.
Mm.
Big Bang Theory is just one of the characters saying a load of nerd shit and then the producers putting a laugh track over it.
Yes.
I have seen the issue.
There's a video on YouTube of the Big Bang Theory with the laugh track removed, and that is something in of itself.
This is the problem. It's like fucking theoretical physics, Dungeons and Dragons. Like, saying things about them isn't necessarily funny. If you're making a joke about either of those two, then sure, but just saying my day was difficult as working out quantum physics, it's not a funny joke. In fact, it's not a joke at all. You're just saying a load of nerd shit and then putting a laugh track over it.
You know what? You've convinced me. I've changed my mind. It's worse to like the Big Bang Theory. Not that we... Yeah.
The misogyny is pretty shit as well, but, you know.
I wasn't even aware there was misogyny. I've seen that little of it.
Fuck me. It's so... We're not here to complain about the Big Bang Theory. We're here
no,
to talk about...
No, that's true. Do we want to do a Big Bang Theory hate episode
no,
one
don't.
Day?
No.
Just read Facebook like... Ugh, no, pass it.
Even like, the author of this fic, I've just read at the bottom, other than that, I had to read the Big Bang Theory wiki for this fic. I hope it was worth it.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
Yes.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
You know what?
Sept Sapphire.
Yeah, maybe next April Fool's we do the Big Bang Theory episode and we talk about the ships and that we like, which are none of them.
Oh, okay. Saved.
Or either that, or we get 30 minutes in and then one of us just goes, I can't fucking take this anymore.
Maybe that's
Bold
the episode.
You to assume I could make it to 30.
Yeah.
We start by going, okay, Grace, I'm going to give you this red button. When you can't take any more, you press it and we switch to talking about Farscape.
Beep. No.
We just see how much you can take before we go, all right, fine, you can do a Farscape episode.
Joke's on you, Farscape isn't the lesser evil.
Wow, that's hurtful.
Ouch,
yeah. It is.
That was, yeah.
Did you notice we'd done another Farscape interlude while you were gone?
I had a feeling that was going on and I elected to ignore it.
I figured seeing one of the fics posted in here would kind of tip you off.
No, I didn't even look. I saw it come up. I was like, no, I'm not looking. And you're like, nothing happened at all. I was like, sure, let's get on with it. Not interested.
There was a brief... Well, we did it for like...
No,
a couple...
I don't care.
Hear me out.
Stop.
This isn't about Farscape itself. We did it for a bit and then Nick was like, did she come in, hear this, and get so angry she just left? And then we stopped, and we were like, okay, let's wait for Grace. And then it didn't continue, because we thought maybe we'd upset you.
God's sake.
So there we go. So what have we learned today?
It's canonically agreed that all these vampires are fucking idiots.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody in the fandom agrees that they are extremely socially inept, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm glad we had an excuse to do all the silly voices, because that was a big appeal.
Yeah, we've learned that silly voices are fun, but then again we learned that 100%. Probably when we started this podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
If any authors want us to do dramatic readings of any fics, please, it will give us more excuses to... do sketchy accents.
Yes.
Which is really all I want.
Yep, and then we will post them to... We will record them and then post them to Fanfics and Chill.
Mm-hmm. Our other channel. I can't believe I ship Guillermo and Colin now.
So you've had your worldview entirely shattered.
I have. Yeah. I came here expecting to find a fic I really enjoy that is about Nadia and Laszlo being cute together. Because that is my OTP for this show.
Yep.
And instead, I discovered something else. And I loved it, don't get me wrong. But, well.
I know we've got, like, no TP. What's the term for a pairing that you're disgusted by, but you enjoy immensely?
I don't think there is one.
Yeah.
I don't know, like a guilty pleasure sort of thing.
Yeah. I don't even feel guilty about it. I'm just... reluctantly being converted to shipping it.
One GP? OGP? One guilty pairing?
Yeah, they're my guilty true pairing. GTP.
Yeah, I see. It's like unironically listening to Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah.
GPP.
I've got a better analogy. It's like the word Riz. When you first hear it, you're like, really? People are saying Riz now? And then...
And now you're using it, yeah.
And then the next thing you know, it's in your vocabulary. And you don't know how to stop using the word Riz.
Yes.
And you don't know how you'd live without Riz as a term.
Oh, boy.
If anyone could find me a better word than Riz, please write in. I'd love to.
I was quite partial to the old Razzle Dazzle. Which I firmly believe that Riz is some form of child.
The old Razzle Dazzle, yeah. Swag was quite nice as well while that lasted. Yes. Got my swag.
I hate them all. I am a curmudgeon when it comes to language and slang and stuff like that, and I think they all sound stupid.
What would you say instead of Riz?
Charisma.
No, that's not right.
A certain je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, that fits. The kind of use the same usage of Riz.
Yeah.
Is a certain je ne sais quoi.
You have a certain I do not know.
You're not beating the Colin Robinson allegations today, Nick.
No, I'm not. I know. Oh, for God's sake. No, Riz, it's fine.
Okay.
Though
ironically, I would be willing to bet that Colin Robinson uses the word Riz in the next season.
Hmm.
Like, I have... Hear me now. He's going to say the word Riz, and then...
Yeah,
the
actually,
circle of life will be complete.
What's the most cringeworthy thing that can happen with teenagers?
Yeah.
It's adults doing the same trends as them.
Oh, yeah. And Colin knows that as it goes on.
Like, it's even the fucking... It's even the same thing when you get to adulthood, because, correct me if I'm wrong, James, but you changed your phone case because you noticed your mum had the same one.
Oh, that was bad. Yeah, I think I've talked about that here.
So, it still continues into adulthood, you know.
What's worse is someone warned me. Like, one of our friends said, that's the kind of case mums have. And I was like, no, it's fine. I don't believe you. It's a perfectly practical case. And then, months later, I visited my mum's house, and lo and behold, the same case, and my face just melted. Never again.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that about does us. What do we want to do next time?
What's big now? As we've established this episode, I do not exactly have my finger on the pulse of modern trends.
Well, I feel like it's Grace's turn, since we've hijacked Cyberpunk and made it more about the game.
Fair enough.
Grace, what would you like to talk about next time, which will be Sunday?
I don't know.
Okay, that's fine. Have a think.
I will.
And, thank you for listening if you made it this far. Hopefully we'll all be feeling better next time.
Oh, yeah.
I will probably have lost my mind, because I'm going to spend the next couple of days pulling my hair out editing this.
Honestly, good luck.
Thank you. Normally I've got a whole extra week to do it, so I'm just going to ignore the rest of the world and power through.
I would say good luck, and don't blow a gasket to get this done, because what with the schedule being already as fucked as it is.
Oh, I know. It's so chaotic.
Yeah. Like, the forces of evil do not want us to make this podcast this year.
On the plus side... If you're listening to this now, that means we have defeated the forces of evil and we've got this out. So...
Ah, well, we've won the battle, but we haven't won the war, James.
Up yours, Zeus. I will get my podcast out.
Zeus, the god of thunder and preventing podcasts.
Yeah, that's probably something he does. I mean, he's probably jealous of Laszlo, considering how often Zeus is a bit of a pervert.
So
I can see why he wouldn't want us to talk about what we do in the shadows.
I don't know if I've told you about this, but I don't think I've told anybody about it on air.
Mm-hmm.
Just a sort of round procedure.
It's the time I was fucked by a swan turned out to be Zeus.
That's never happened, at least not to my knowledge.
Oh my god. You will remember nothing.
But basically, I am sat at work. Of course, as you all know, I work in a... very sort of macho, male-dominated environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the parts supervisor whinging about something to somebody else. And what is it with podcasts nowadays? Every fucker's got a podcast. Too many podcasts. And I'm just sat there like, yeah.
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 Don't hear about my smut.
That's it. How about them podcasts?
Okay. Well, it's been fun. Join us next time. If you enjoy the show, best way to support us, tell your friends.
Yep. Like, comment, share, subscribe, all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All the
fun shit.
All the things that the cringy YouTubers tell you to do every single video.
Exactly.
Well, multiple times every single video.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.